All right, we're going to get things started here. Thank you so much for moving in, everybody that did. That's awesome. As people are still coming in. Let me start by saying this is such an important topic, and I love that this room is full. It's a pretty big room, so I applaud everybody for just being here and wanting to hear this presentation. So I'm Chris Spaulding. I'm one of your board of directors members for the Brewpub category. I'm from Brewvivant out in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Also on the Brewpub and technical committees as a co-chair. A couple of reminders you've heard all week. If you could silence your phones, that would be great. For questions, of course, we have Slido, so make sure you have that ready. And that will be, I imagine, a good part of... I'm guessing there's going to be some good questions. And then, of course, at the end, if you could remember to submit feedback on this presentation within the CBC app, that feedback is really important for the events team as they plan future CBCs and see what people like and what they're looking to have different. So that would be great. All right. So to quick introduce our speakers today, we have DJ Anga, who's an EAP consultant with Sand Creek Group. And we have Kate Mugley, who's the founder of Infinite Ingredient. Let's give them a good round.
Hi. How is everybody? Good? Who's tired? Who's hungover? I figured there might be a few. I behaved last night, so hopefully I won't be too much of a mess. Welcome to The Burden of Burnout, where to start to combat and prevent it. I really appreciate you all being here. I know it's been a long week, so let's hop in. You can scan the QR code, and with that, throughout the presentation, if anything pops up that you want to ask questions on, you can do that. And if nothing else, I think at the end we'll have a thing, too, that... Yeah? Okay. Excellent. All right. Let's dive in. I'm going to allow my friend DJ to hop up and introduce himself real quick.
I'm going to just make sure that Tom had this mic going. So good job, Tom. 4 stars. Hi, everybody. We were taking bets. And I said, Katie, are we going to be able to fill this room? And then sure enough, holy hell, like everybody's in here. So that's awesome. Thank you for taking time. I know this is, the last day?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sort of here for moral support, and I will be chiming in as needed, but I work for an employee assistance program here in Minneapolis called Sand Creek, and have been in the industry doing clinical and organizational development work for about 12 years in this industry, but I've been in this field for about 22 years. So... this morning, and I'll talk a little bit more about this thing that you see on the board. I was laying in bed at like 3 a.m, and I'm like, "Oh my God, here's a formula!" And so I'll talk more about that when we get to it. So thanks for being here, and I'll turn it back over to Katie.
Thank you. Oh, I'm gonna do this one because I don't want to. I'm flaily, so I can't be holding on to things. Awesome. All right. I am Katie Mugley. Local folks might know me by my nickname, Muggs. I'm the founder and executive director of Infinite Ingredient, which is a nonprofit organization that I began last spring, whose mission is to support the mental and physical well-being of individuals in the craft beverage industry through outreach, education, and access to resources. I have over 20 years of experience in the hospitality industry, and until last spring, was working for a local brewery here in Minneapolis where I helped to open the tap room, worked in sales, was the on-premise sales manager, helped with marketing, served on the leadership team, and helped to build their infrastructure for their self-distribution program. I served on the board of directors for the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild from 2020 to 2022, which was very interesting because we had like one meeting before COVID hit, so that was wild. I have my Master's of Arts in Liberal Studies from St. Paul, Minnesota, or from St. Paul. St. Paul gives out master's degrees now. From Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I also have my Women in Leadership certificate from Cornell University. Thank you. Thank you. don't pay for your own degrees. Let's just get that out there right away. So what we're going to be going over today, what burnout is and why it is important. In March of this past year, Infinite Ingredient conducted a survey looking at burnout in the industry. So I'm going to go over a high-level overview of what those results showed. And then we will talk about how to recognize burnout, how it impacts an individual's body, and we're going to look at how to prevent, recognize, and combat burnout as a leader and also as an individual. And then lastly, I'm hoping that we'll have 15 to 20 minutes for questions because I really want to be able to engage in some like real discussion and answer like what it is that that you all want to get to. So before diving like super deep into any of this, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So this topic of burnout is really, really, really important to me, and it is really, really personal. This is a photo of me in March of last year. I left the industry last March because I was so burned out. It became clear to me that the company that I was working for was no longer able to provide a safe environment for me, and I didn't want to carry my burnout to a different craft brewery in town. So I accepted a job with a marketing firm and walked away to lick my wounds and decide whether or not I wanted to engage with craft anymore. And about 6 weeks after that, Brianne Allen posited the question on Instagram, what sexist comments have you experienced? And the landslide that became the reckoning came to the forefront. And as anyone who read through some of those accounts knows, they are gut-wrenching and they are awful, and they highlight some very, very deep-seated issues in the industry. Not feeling mentally or physically safe. Not feeling mentally or physically safe in an environment exacerbates all of these components that we're going to be talking about today regarding burnout. Knowing firsthand that the industry is not known for its benefits, I wanted to come up with a way to be able to get resources into people's hands, and that is where the idea for Infinite Ingredient came from. I have known so many incredible people in the local industry, in this Minneapolis-St. Paul market and across the state of Minnesota, who have left because they're burned out, and so many who are in it who are hanging and grasping at straws, and they are on their last threads. The industry is losing incredibly talented people at a really alarming rate, and we can't afford to do that. So we need to do something about it, and that's why I'm up here right now. What is burnout? Burnout is a state of mental and physical exhaustion due to extreme chronic stress. Okay, let's unpack that a little bit more. Burnout is a syndrome that is conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It is characterized by these three dimensions: feelings of energy depletion, increased distance from one's job, and reduced personal efficacy. I just want to make sure this is showing up right back there. Okay, cool, we're on track. So why is understanding burnout important, right? As an employer, you are charged with the well-being of your teams. In 2019, OSHA's role expanded to include the protecting of workers' mental health in addition to their physical health. Not addressing burnout affects the mental and physical health of your employees, and it hurts morale. So as we dive deeper into the effects of this, I want for you to keep in mind and keep in the back of your head what this begins to look like when it's not just an individual, and what this starts to look like when it is running through entire teams or an entire company. Not addressing burnout hurts your bottom line. So if you're out there and you're like, Katie, I'm the most stone-cold business person in the entire world. I don't care about people. Why would I care about burnout? My response to you would be that if you can't get on board from the human aspect, the business case is pretty significant. Burnout leads to turnover, and turnover is often overlooked in its cost. According to Employee Benefit News, employers spend an average of 33% of a person's salary to replace them. That means that it will cost you $12,000 to replace someone who is at $36,000. That means that it will cost you $20,000 to replace someone who is at $60,000. And let's also make sure within this not to lose sight of the incalculable institutional knowledge that walks out the door when someone leaves your company. Burnout also leads to increases in absenteeism, lower productivity, and it also increases accident risk. So let's dig into the Craft Beer Burnout Survey. So this past March, we conducted a 100% anonymous survey to get a pulse on burnout in the industry, and we were fortunate enough to have 388 participants from 42 states across the U.S. So if any of you out here took it, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So the methodology behind this survey was based on the Maslach Burnout Inventory, which was created in 1980 by Dr. Christine Maslach, and it's widely regarded as the gold standard for measuring burnout. It consists of 22 questions across three categories. And if you recall back to that big beefy definition of burnout, each of these three categories corresponds to the three dimensions of burnout. So occupational exhaustion is measuring whether or not those feelings of energy, exhaustion, or depletion are present. Depersonalization and loss of empathy measures whether or not there's increased mental distance from one's job. And personal accomplishment is looking at the piece of reduced personal efficacy. So based on, it's important to note, and this will be important on the next slide, that based on Maslach's definition of burnout, an individual or a person can only be considered burned out if they are exhibiting all three categories as severely burned out. So the survey demographics, so the makeup for this, everything was optional as far as demographics went, so not everything's going to add up exactly to 100, and these are all rounded numbers. So in-depth demographic information will be available and published hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I'm hoping by the end of May I'll be able to have that ready to go so that people can really dive in to the meat of what is in existence here. So I also included the breakdown of the roles for the responses. So we had a really great response, and I think future surveys and future dives are hopefully going to be able to look into whether or not it's more pervasive in one area of breweries or another. So that's a whole separate deal and kit and caboodle. So the results for this. For occupational exhaustion, this came in at 33.9, and anything over 30 is considered a high level or severe degree of burnout. Depersonalization and loss of empathy came in at 13.2. Anything over 12 indicates a high level of burnout. And then personal accomplishment came in at 26.4. And for this one, anything under 33 indicates a low level of personal accomplishment. So it's important to note when looking at this that for personal accomplishment, that's the one that we want the number to be high, right? Like, we want people to have a high level of personal accomplishment in regard to their feeling about their work. And we also want them to have a low level of occupational exhaustion or a low level of depersonalization and loss of empathy. So the average across all 388 responses equals a severe degree of burnout in all three categories. Y'all are burned out. You're tired. You probably didn't need this to tell you that. You are probably here with that knowledge already. So we gave respondents a chance to self-identify their burnout, and within that, 42% said that they feel completely burned out. And another 40% said sometimes they do. So it was really interesting seeing how people self-identify versus how that actually appears. Infinite Ingredient is in the midst of our launch campaign right now, and what we're doing is working towards being able to provide access to mental health benefits and work-life balance resources for everyone working in the craft brewing industry across the country. We took the opportunity to ask folks in this survey if they had access to resources, whether or not they would use them. And 60% of people said that they would use them. Another 28% said that they would maybe use them or consider using them. So this is really a really important part of trying to understand where the industry is at and things that we can do to meet the needs that exist out there. So now we're going to turn to some common signs and symptoms of burnout and how to recognize them. So first we'll walk through how to recognize burnout in ourselves as individuals, and then we'll talk about being able to recognize it at work. So common signs and symptoms include this whole laundry list up here. The ones that I really wanted to highlight are isolation, and this was a big one for me and how my burnout presented, was that if you start cutting yourself off from social activities that are outside of work, and you don't have anything left in your tank at all for a personal life, for your family, for your cat, for your dog, for your goldfish, if you don't have any energy for that, that is a huge indicator that you can look in the mirror and say, this might be a problem for me. The other thing, chemical and substance use concerns. It's really, really, really easy to lean into having an extra one or two or three when you've got unlimited taps at your disposal. So that's something to really make sure that you're checking in with yourself on. So signs and symptoms as they may present at work is reduced performance and productivity, absenteeism, and that cynical outlook really coming forward and being projected within and maybe like among your teams and your across your coworkers of being quick to anger, feeling emotionally numb, or being generally apathetic. I'm going to pass it off to DJ, and he's going to talk us through the physical and chemical aspects of how all this works.
Thanks, Katie.
DJ, let me know when you want me to click.
Oh, sure. So I just got back from Coachella for my first time. And I will say that the California craft brew industry is alive and well out there. And I'm going to kind of go in a sideways direction just because you'll see where I'm going with this in a second. So I'm in recovery. So isn't it ironic that I'm standing here before? So, and I met a couple. Where is the guy that gave me his card? Where is he? I don't know where he is. Where?
Right there.
Where? Mike. Raise your hand. Oh, hey. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm at Coachella. I don't drink. My girlfriend does. And there's like 50 yards of amazing craft brew. And this is my jam, right? And I had, and it's been about, 8 years I've been in recovery. But while I was there, I'm like, it makes all the sense in the world right now to have a beer. All the sense in the world. I got through it, but it's been a struggle. So since I've been back this last week, I've been kind of struggling a little bit. And so I drove and just got in my car, and I don't know if any of you do this, but have you ever had those moments when you're in your car and you're just kind of like screaming and yelling or talking to nobody, you know? That's what I was doing. And I don't know how many, I know people are from all over the country here, but the Cathedral of St. Paul is kind of like one of my favorite places. And so I ended up there and I just was feeling sorry for myself, burnt out, sat down in a pew, kind of wondering why is the world not giving me kind of what I want when I want it right now. And as I'm sitting there feeling sorry for myself, there's this fellow who looks even more distraught than me. And if you've ever been in the Cathedral of St. Paul, it goes around in a circle, kind of like here. We were actually talking about maybe getting this to move and putting lasers up while we talk. Yeah, this turns around. But anyways, this guy's walking around in a circle, and he's got his head down, and he's kind of talking to himself, and he's just very distraught. And he did this probably two or three times, and I'm like, what in the hell's going on with this dude? Like, this guy's... And so curiosity got me, and I got up and I went up to him and I stopped him while he was walking, and I kind of surprised him, and I said, dude, are you okay? And he just went, and he grabbed me and he hugged me and he said, thank you, brother, thank you. And he wouldn't let go, and it started kind of getting a little weird, like I couldn't space. And he was just, thank you so much, thank you. And so I said, are you okay, you sure? And he said, yep, I'm fine now. And so I went back and sat down. I wasn't necessarily feeling super sorry for myself anymore because I was like, huh, maybe there's a reason why I was here. And when I got up to leave, he came up and he kind of grabbed my shoulder and he said, hey, by the way, thank you for talking to me, because if you hadn't, I was going to go home and hang myself. I just needed one person. And I'm like, dude, are you serious? And he said, and I'm getting emotional, but he said, yeah, I just moved here from Texas. I'm a business owner. I got three teenage daughters. My wife wants to leave me because my business is not doing as well as she wants it to be doing. I'm just stressed out. I'm not making any friends here. What you did today kind of changed the course of his situation. And so, folks, and I was telling Katie before I started, is the one common leveler in this room is that we're all broken. We all have something. Some of us are maybe a little bit more willing and vulnerable to show it than others, but burnout is a real deal. And before the rest of the group came in here, I was making fun of myself before you came in, because I was up at 3 a.m. and I'm like, and all of a sudden, and I don't know where this came from, but I got this formula in my head. It just showed up, and I actually got up and wrote it down, and now I threw it on this board. And this formula basically quantifies burnout, for me anyways, and maybe for you. And so I'll explain it. OP stands for original pain. Or maybe in our industry, we call it core pain. So all of us in here, we have grown up, and you know they say that the devil does his best work when we're kids, and then we spend the rest of our lives untying the knots. Well, that is what OP stands for, okay? It could be a broken household or a family, or perhaps maybe abuse. Something that has changed the way that you look at the world when you were very young, and then you've carried it into adulthood, right? This F is the physics symbol for friction. Oh, and I actually forgot one thing in here. Sorry. The biggest thing. And that is OP times R. So we take our original pain times reality over friction, and friction is just basically symbolized in this conversation as burnout, right? And then you have this equals this. This is the physics formula for chaos and disorder, all right? We all are sort of marinating in this every day, every moment, even right now. There is some manner of this happening. OP times R equals friction, chaos. Now, I was really good at biology when I was in school. And you can apply that formula to an organism, which is you, or an organization, which is us. And an organism, if you look at a single cell organism, there are certain things inside of a single cell that require it to flourish. You have mitochondria, you have a nucleus, you have protozoa. And the way that they communicate with each other that keeps that single cell healthy is through sending protein signals across the cell to other parts of the cell that tell it what to do and how to function, okay? So if we take that analogy and we use it as a human being, well, let's see. I'm burnt out because I have... You can go to the... Well, no, don't... No, go back. I'm burnt out because my business isn't doing as good as I want to. My daughter needs a prom dress. I really want to drink a lot of beer today. Whatever else. The IRS, I owe them money. And so you have all these sort of externals, right? Externals in the environment that start to operate in a way that they're trying to access my organism. And then pretty soon, not only do I have all of my work stuff, working with groups and traveling and talking, but pretty soon now I've got, oh my God, okay, so I got the IRS, I got Katie's prom dress, I got this, I got that, I want a drink, blah, blah, blah. And then pretty soon, ugh. And folks, we can't have, you're not going to have a good idea if you're being chased by a tiger, okay? That is not how our brains work. And in our brains, you can kind of see the two graphics there. In our brains, something happens when we're stressed. Human beings were not designed to live in a chronic state of stress. But here's the thing. Sometimes when you were stressed, not sometimes, all the time, if you're in a stressful situation, your brain releases something called cortisol, which is called, it's a stress hormone, right? And what that does is that activates this run, fight, hide impulse in our bodies. The amygdala gets activated. But if a person is in a constant state of that that feeling or that emotion, bad things happen. Versus somebody who is calm, somebody who is feeling happy, the opposite of cortisol would be a dopamine. So you get dopamine when you're exercising, you get dopamine when you're maybe online shopping, you're doing something that you like, right? The trick is both of these can be addictive. And I know, does anybody have that one friend that when you're done being around them, you feel like you need to take a nap or a shower or both, right? They call them energy vampires, right? Those are, you're like, yeah, man, I'm sitting right next to one right now. But, so that happens, and so it drains us. And what is that? Well, it's an energy exchange. And we can feel it in our bodies when we're around people like that. That's why it's important. And on the flip side, to be optimistic, do you ever get around somebody that when you're done being around them, you just feel better, right? You just feel like, oh, man, they really validated me and they made me feel good. You know, organizations can be that way too. They can be energy suckers or they can be energy givers. And for those of you maybe in leadership positions, you might be in a leadership position because you know how to make beer really effing well, right? That's why you're in a leadership position. But you know what? Maybe you're terrible with people. Maybe you don't like talking to people, right? And so Katie will talk more about that in a second. But we get into positions of leadership for different reasons, not just because I'm awesome and people love being around me. It could be because you know your shit, right? And so that's important. All right, go ahead. I'm not going to go through this laundry list of things. I will say, though, I was doing some organizational work for a county in the United States, and the HR director pulled me aside during a break, and she said, DJ, every single, and this is a county that had probably 450 employees, every one of my employees is on an antidepressant. Every single one of them. The first thing I thought of is, well, holy crap, like, what's wrong with this place, right? What's wrong with the leadership here? What's going on with the work that's happening? What's happening in the organization that there is this happening along with this internal versus external kind of chaos and disorder that all your people. And so if you look at this, I mean, again, come on. How much fun is, where's Chris? Chris, how much fun is Chris going to be around today if she has all this stuff happening right now? Not very fun, right? What's the next one? Body? Yeah. How much fun is Katie going to be if she's sitting here and she's experiencing all these different, you know, God forbid, knock on wood, nothing like heart attack happens, but right? I mean, but folks, studies have been done. Stress actually kills people. It does. And it's because human beings were not designed to live in a constant state of stress. Hence the importance of having conversations like this collectively as a group so you can talk about ways to combat it within your specific organizations, right? Okay, good. I'll just sit, and if I have any other thoughts, I'll...
chime in.
I'll chime in.
You're more than welcome.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, DJ. So, how do we combat burnout? First and foremost, you have to recognize it, and you have to name it. You can't address a problem if you are unwilling to admit that it is there and call it by its name. Recognize burnout and name it. The single most important thing that you can do in working towards combating and preventing it is doing this. This one's beefy. Got y'all some Spider-Mans. Who is responsible for burnout? It's really easy to get stuck in this Spider-Man meme. It's everyone else's fault, right? I recall this moment having a conversation with my former boss about one of our sales reps. He was always on, going a million miles a minute, and his sales reflected it. At a certain point, my boss said to me, like, I hope he doesn't burn himself out. And I was sitting there, and I was like, yeah, dude, I hope so too. Like, we can't afford that at all. Namely, because I would probably have to take over his route, and I wasn't able to do that. I wasn't even able to run my own. It was insane. Let me tell you that we were both wrong in that response. That was on both of us. That was on me as his manager, and that was on my boss, who was one of the owners of the brewery and the head of sales. Burnout is exclusively an occupational phenomenon, which means that employers have control over whether or not the workplace environment is producing burnout. I'm going to read that again. Burnout is an exclusively occupational phenomenon that employers have control over whether or not their workplace environment is producing burnout. According to the American Medical Association, burnout is related to stressors within an environment and is not caused by a weakness on part of an individual. So what this means is that if you've got people burning out, you're not going to be able to replace them with people who can handle it better. If burnout is endemic in your company culture, it's going to appear. This is where it's really critical to remember that earlier piece about burnout increasing turnover. Do you have an extra 12 grand to shell out every time you burn someone out who's making $36,000 a year? That's not even addressing the fact that $36,000 a year is wildly underpaid for any position in a brewery. At the end of the day, I mean, let's be real. Like, a lot, I could have like an entire hour on like how burnout is exacerbated by the conditions of like all of the things. That's a whole separate conversation. We don't have time for that today. But at the end of the day, owners and people who are in leadership positions are the ones who have the power to be able to create and foster an environment that is safe and that is healthy. And that means both physically and mentally. So, okay, you're out there and you're like, Jesus Christ, Katie, like, thanks so much because I don't have enough on my plate. Now I need to like try and manage burnout for everybody. Add that to my frickin' list when I get home. So let's talk through some things and how you can recognize, combat, and also prevent burnout as a leader and make sure that you're equipped to be able to eradicate it if it's already in existence, right? But then also that you can really kind of be hyper aware and make sure that it doesn't become part of your culture if you're someone who's still in build out or still relatively new. So let's look at recognizing it, right? We already established that you can't address a problem if you don't admit that it's there. And we talked about signs and symptoms as they would appear both individually and then probably at work. So let's revisit what to be on the lookout for at work. Check in on employee stress levels. Be willing to look at what is driving those stress levels. How to prevent burnout. These are some really important things that seem really, really, really nebulous, but are really like simple when you distill them down. So have clear designation of roles and responsibilities. This helps folks to understand what is or is not in their purview. What are they responsible for? If there's any ambiguity within this, you can wind up with significant stressors across your organization that are completely avoidable. Accountability across the organization. This is really important, and the biggest thing to highlight with this is that accountability needs to stretch equally across the organization. Managers, leaders, owners should not be immune to being held accountable for their mistakes. It will be extremely fatiguing for your employees to see that a different set of rules applies to them versus their coworkers. So if you truly are a team and you value your team as a leader, manager, or owner, take ownership of your piece of the team and don't just put that on your employees. Clear time off policy. So one of the things that I've seen a lot of breweries do in lieu of being able to offer certain benefits is offering unlimited time off for their salaried or full-time staff, which on the surface sounds like fucking awesome, right? That's amazing, but this ties to the first point where if there aren't clear designations of roles and responsibilities, it can be really difficult, if not impossible, to take time off. Worse yet, this policy can make folks feel guilty about taking time off if like they don't want to be seen as abusing this generous gift, right? And it can also become something that's really easily weaponized among a team as a show of dedication for not taking it. Like, oh my God, I haven't had a vacation in 2 years. Like, bro, that's not healthy. Like, super not healthy. Develop job resources, including training and clear pathways for learning and professional development. So one of the strongest antidotes for burnout, is engagement. So on one end of the spectrum, you have an employee who's completely burned out, right? And on the other end of the spectrum, you have an employee who is fully supported and able to show up and deliver their best work on behalf of your company. If you have clear opportunities and pathways for folks, they're going to likely be more engaged because they know that there's investment in their professional growth and they have somewhere to grow within the organization. Engagement helps lead to loyalty and longevity and tenure. Provide a safe work environment. This is super important for both physical and psychological. So we talk a great deal in the brewing industry about physical safety. Providing a work environment that is psychologically safe means that you have a workplace where employees can voice concerns, they can make mistakes, and they can voice new ideas without the fear of being punished for it or being humiliated for it. How to combat burnout as a leader, be proactive. Please be proactive. Know your strengths and weaknesses. Should you be managing a team? Like DJ said earlier, should you be managing a team? You might be really, really, really good at your section of whatever it is that you are overseeing, but if you are not good at managing people, let someone else manage them. Take accountability for burnout among your teams and across your organization. So is there one team that's burned out and another team that is thriving? Why? Don't be afraid to look at that, and don't be afraid to take a really honest and hard look at how your own strengths and weaknesses as a leader and as a manager and as an owner inform the way that that comes out. What's next? Evaluate workloads. Are they realistic? Are they sustainable? It is so easy to fall into the trap of like, we're a scrappy startup and I wear 14 hats. Like, that's awesome. That's so cool. At what point do those 14 hats get put on other heads? Have staffing plans. At what point do you need to hire additional people? This goes hand in hand with the previous bullet point. People can go at 150% and build and thrive and do some really, really amazing things for a while. They need reinforcements, right? If your staffing plan is to burn out your best and your brightest, and you think that you can't afford to make another hire, think back to that 33%. Can you afford that 33% turnover mark on that person's salary if they leave? Not to mention recalling again that institutional knowledge that walks out the door when they walk out the door. And that, as a startup or as a newer company, is so incredibly valuable to your brand. This one's a big one. I'm like the most guilty person ever, y'all. I was calling everyone and texting them and slacking them at all hours. If anyone in the room here like had to deal with that, I'm sorry. create clear working hours and stick to them to avoid the always on expectation. So if you're always on because you're an owner, that's great. That's a you thing. That should not be expected of your staff. Don't expect your employees to model always on behavior. If they're salaried, make clear designations for on and off hours. Don't text them. Don't call them at 9 o'clock at night with something that clearly could have waited until the next day. If as an owner or a manager, you have an employee who's doing this, like I used to do, check in with them. Like, dude, why are you working so late? Why do you feel that like you can't set this down? Like, please go make some time for yourself. Check in with them and see what you can provide for them and what you can equip them with, and also what maybe you need to be able to step in and take off their plate. So we already established which Spider-Man owns whether or not burnout is allowed to exist or thrive in an organization. But even with that, there are some things that you can do as an individual if you're feeling like one of the 388 folks who responded to our survey. So physical things, sleep. Sleep is a fresh pour of your favorite beer in a beer clean glass, you guys. Like, this is like the best thing ever. Prioritize it, savor it, enjoy it, make time for it. Like, sleep hygiene is a real thing. Look at the environment in which you're sleeping in. What's the light situation? Do you need to get darker curtains? Like, how's the temperature? Like, do you need to get a fan? Whatever it is, like, look at that. And then also consistent bedtimes. I'm still trying to figure that one out. If anyone has a line on that, let me know, please, because I am not great at that. Hydration. There's some, like, water in beer, but also have water on the side, too. This is your friendly reminder to go chug some water after this. Mindfulness. You don't have to become some sort of Zen master of meditation in order to practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is just simply being present in a moment. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. If you're brewing, you're like, I got to do this next. If you're doing sales and delivery, you're like, oh shit, I got like 84 more accounts to get to today. If you're in a tap room, you're like, oh my God, there's, you know, this never-ending line. It's really, really, really easy to be stuck in like, how do I get out of this? When am I going to be done? What is the next step? It's elusive to be present in a moment, right? So just understand that mindfulness is as simple as like, just like, hey, I'm here right now at this presentation. Holy crap, this is crazy. Psychological and emotional things that you can do. Make the most of your off time. Don't do work stuff on your off time. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. Don't. Okay? This is mostly me telling myself that, but also you all. Maintain strong social connections inside and outside of work. This is really important because when work becomes your life, becomes your work, it is really easy to get lost and like work reigns above all else. Get support from a mental health professional or coach. It's not everyone's cup of tea. I totally respect that. I totally get that. But if it is something that you're either like into or you're curious about and you have access to resources, use them. Explore them. Once Infinite Ingredients launch campaign is funded, we'll be able to provide access to employee assistance program resources that include work-life coaching and mental health counseling, and that will extend to every person working for a craft brewery in the U.S. So someday, hopefully, I'll be able to say, like, just call this number. But until then, we got a minute. Thanks. I'm excited. I can't wait for that day. Stay tuned. So professionally, speak up. Ask for support. If you don't feel comfortable doing either of those things, that is something that is telling you a lot about the environment that you're in. Use this information to inform whether or not you feel that this is somewhere that you can show up and be supported honestly and wholly as yourself. If it isn't, reflect on that information. And check in what resources the company has available to you. You never know, so just ask and do some digging, because there might be some really amazing things that you have at your disposal that you're not aware of. Lastly, be kind to yourself. This is your friendly reminder to be nice to you. The last 2 years have been so much, of so much, and being here right now is no small feat. So before we pop into any questions, I know we have like limited time left, but I want to make sure that I get you through. I want to take you through a breathing exercise really quick so that like you can put that in your pocket and take it with you as you leave. So this is a breathing exercise that I found super helpful if I ever am feeling super panicked or going, I know a panic attack is going to hit. This is something that is really helpful to just calm you down and get you back back to square one. So we're going to do some breathing with the mantra, I am. So if you're comfortable, close your eyes. If not, totally cool. Empty all the air out of your lungs. Inhale. And as you inhale, think to yourself, I. Exhale. And as you exhale, think to yourself, am. Inhale. I. Exhale. Am. Inhale. I. Exhale. Am. Okay, continue to inhale and exhale at your own pace. You can open your eyes, or if you want to chill with them closed, by all means, do whatever's comfortable. This mantra is super, super helpful in order to be able to step out of that like forwards thinking, jumping back way of doing things. And it doesn't encourage you to feel any certain way, right? Like, you're not like, oh, I'm suddenly made of sunshine and rainbows. Like, all you have to do is exist. That's the only thing you need to do when you use that mantra. So I had one more, but I would rather get to questions. So we'll do that. So thank you for your attentiveness, everyone. We've got some resources that help to inform. Shit, y'all. I knew I should have brought tissues. Damn it. Thank you for that. That is like, that means everything. We've got some resources. God damn it, you guys. We've got some resources that are available. So if you go to infiniteingredient.org/CBC2022, there are some articles if you want to do some further reading on burnout. And then there's also like that little breathing exercise. There was one other one I was going to do, but I rambled on too long. So you can find that there. And then if you have any questions or anything comes up that we can't get to, we are going to be able to, Mackenzie told me that we'd get the questions after too. So we'll answer those and those will get popped in there and all those fun things. So anything that comes up, please feel free to email me directly. I have cards up here. I have stickers up here. And feel free to get in touch. DJ, yes?
Yes.
Get in touch with DJ as well. So please grab our info. Okay, here we go. Question time. How do you assist an employee identifying and admitting to burnout when they avoid issues or think that they are being helpful by pushing through? Oh, God, this was me. I was fine. Everything was fine. It was great. How do you assist them? Try and get resources into their hands. And that can be not just like work-life balance or counseling, just try and get resources in their hands. Say, may I take this off of your plate? May I do this for you? May we put this maybe in someone else's purview for a minute? You know, try and sit down with them and really look into and understand why they're not willing to let go of an iron grip on something. Is it that they don't feel... So one of the things that's really important is understanding that. I think the brewing industry is guilty of this. And I know, like, I came from, like, service industry, bars, restaurants, all of that stuff. You're a dime a dozen, right? There are 84 other servers out there who will take this job. There's 92 bartenders that would love to bartend here. It's the same in beer, right? Like, oh, like, our brewery is so cool. We could have, like, 80 new sales reps tomorrow. Well, freaking great, man. You've got one right now who, like, needs to understand that their job is secure and they're not going to be replaced because someone else came in and said that they really love their beer. Like, that is on you to be able to make sure that you're providing a space where they are allowed to set things down and allowed to maybe step back off the gas and be able to take care of themselves and know that their job isn't going anywhere and that you're there to support them. DJ, do you have anything to add to that? Okay. As an owner who is short-staffed, I've noticed my own burnout. However, how do you manage your own burnout while trying to prevent your staff burning out? Woof. Recognize it and name it. recognizing it is a huge piece, right? Understanding that that's where you're at. Who can you lean on? Who can you ask for help? Who can you bring in? Not just short-staffed, who do you have in your life? So if you yourself, let's even put your staff aside for a minute, you yourself, you need to, you can't help your staff. It's the same as the airplane oxygen masks, right? Put your shit on first, and then go help other people, right? So, take care of what you need to take care of. Who is in your life that you can lean on to support, to help, to pick up whatever pieces need done, and be able to start there, and then be able to hopefully get yourself into a position where you can start supporting staff a little bit better. So I would say just, lean into your community, lean into your people, find your people, and if you don't have them, don't be afraid to ask, around. And I think, one of the biggest things is just being willing to admit, asking for help. I need help with this. And it can be something as menial as, hey, can you please just, drop off a freaking meal for me so I can, have one thing that I don't need to, think about? Don't be afraid to ask for those things. DJ, do you have anything to add to that? No? Okay. I would love to say, eventually I'll be able to say, call this number and you can talk to people and it will help you and you will have all these resources, but we're not there yet. So, how do the survey results compare to other industries? That's an excellent question. I don't know yet. it's still brand spanking new. So this survey was conducted in March and I, got enough of the data pulled out and put together to give to you all today. So that is an excellent question that will remain to, you can speak to this.
Yeah, I can add.
You know these things, yes.
So the survey results that I saw based on what Katie put together in the 388 respondents is actually a lot higher. We work with both public and private industries, and this is kind of off the charts, and it kind of intrigues me a little bit as to why that would be. But when we look at our quarterly utilization rates, and it's not surveys, it's a quantitative utilization report that we run that identifies why people are calling us for help. What is their demographic in terms of their age, and so we can kind of see. So in the employee assistance world, good utilization, meaning that people are calling and accessing services because they're hurting for or have some concern, is about 4%. Anything above that is really good utilization. So, but when I saw those numbers, it was wow, people are struggling in this industry, which means that there's so much opportunity to help.
Yes.
Right?
100%. 100%.
I also saw there was a question, has anybody ever heard of the Three Good Things? So that's a gratitude app. It's awesome. My daughter actually uses it. So it's just Google Three Good Things. You can download the app and kind of helps you maintain a sense of gratitude consistently. And that's been proven to kind of help people's emotional and mental health.
Love it. Excellent. Okay, we're at an hour. I'm really sorry. Should we do one more? Is that okay? Am I going to get yelled? I do? This timer's a liar. It says I'm at an hour and a minute. Oh, dang. Okay, we got time. Okay. Well, someone will grab a cane and, pull me off the stage at some point. So I'm not in charge of decision-making for our team, and the person that is in charge is not interested. How can I address the problem of burnout? That makes me sad. I'm sorry to whoever, I'm sorry. That bums me out. How can you address it? I would say talk to your coworkers about it. If the person in charge, it's not on you to fix this, by the way, for your organization. It is not on you to fix this for your organization. That is on them, just to be very clear about that. But if you're comfortable with it, talk to your coworkers and see what you can maybe resource together and be able to, you know, support one another. And I'm going to just say, like, definitively, and, like, it's just, it's bullshit that they're not interested in dealing with it. So I'm sorry about that. But I would say, yeah, just band together with your coworkers if that's something that you're comfortable taking on. And if not, it's not on you to fix it. And it sucks and it's hard. When you have people in place that, don't want to give these things the attention that they deserve. So how can we help Infinite Ingredient raise money? Oh, thank you for this question. thank you. You can just help let people know what we're doing. That's like the biggest thing. Let people know what we're doing. Talk to your companies if they have any ounce of philanthropic giving that they can do. And I just like, I want to let you guys know that, like, legitimately, I know everyone's like, every dollar counts. But like with this, the cost to cover one person for 1 year of all of these incredible services from Sand Creek is $6, y'all. That's cheaper than any pint that is being poured in this fucking town right now. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it is $6 to cover one person for 1 year. That is 50 cents a month. It is ridiculously attainable, and it is ridiculously sustainable. Like, we have to do this. Like, it will get figured out. So letting people know what we're doing, letting people know that, like, this insane, egregious goal that we have is attainable and is bite size, because for $6 you can have, and the kicker with this is that it's not just every individual working in the craft brewing industry that will have access to these resources. It will be their families as well. Your children, your spouses, your significant others. It is not just you as this insular being that is like this little like proxy for the industry. It is your entire family unit that is covered. So that just even, you know, boils it down to even more attainable and accessible. So biggest thing, please just help spread awareness of our mission and what we're trying to do. And hopefully very soon we'll have resources for you. And eventually we're going to be trying to shepherd in craft spirits and craft cideries as well. And the amazing folks from Sand Creek and their group have international coverage as well. So long-term goal is, we know that these issues are not just affecting us here in the U.S. Long-term goal is to be able to provide international coverage for folks as well. So we're shooting for the moon, because what the fuck else are we going to do, right? Like, we got to. okay. What? Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, all. You can donate on our website at infiniteingredient.org. We have links to donate to our launch campaign there. I'm going to do one more question, right? I have time for one more? Maybe? We'll pretend that we do. If you need to leave, please feel free. Do you feel a negative person within your organization can affect the rest of the team in a negative way? Yes. Yes. 100% yes. It takes one person can really, really, really significantly affect morale. And I get it. Like, I mean, I am very cynical. I can be very negative at times, all the things. But like, when you're bringing that stuff to work and you are there and you are just like cutting folks down in your team, that can have such a significant effect on whether or not your team feels safe, and feels that they can even work together, and it can like pit folks against each other. So absolutely, like it takes one person being a dick to like ruin it all for everybody else, right? So yeah, 100%, 100%. We'll leave on that note. Don't be a dick. How about that? Ha ha ha.